would everybody welcome Pastor Reggie.
Alrighty. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
So you have to do me a favor. Stand up again. Stand up again and hug somebody next to you. Give them a high five if you would. Go ahead. High fives. Welcome somebody else. Greet somebody on the other side. We do really religious things like that here. We're so glad to have you here this morning. A couple quick announcements that I need to share with you. If you're visiting this morning, we welcome you. We're so glad you're here. Pray that God touches you in a significant way this morning. As the video said, we have a building coming tomorrow. Yeah, so that's a great thing. We're excited about that. There's a lot of work that's about to happen and has been happening. One thing for family members, Fountain family members, I do need to tell you, and you can join. I believe this problem can be solved in prayer. And the problem is that we did find two rattlesnakes out in the field this week. Yeah, I've been here for a long time. We've never seen a snake, and we killed two. So here's what I just need your help, parents. We until this thing passes and we find out if there's like what extent the problem is. This happened Tuesday. They've done a lot of work since then, and we haven't seen any more. Thank you, Jesus. Until we have just a full-on clearance that we are rattlesnake-free, have your kids close by you. All right, don't let them go, you know, scurrying across the field, and let's just watch them a little bit closer for the next couple weeks. Does that sound okay?
Yes.
All right. And then another announcement for you, if you've been around here or primarily the Foursquare Church for a while, you know the name Leslie Kegel, and he will be here with us next Sunday. Just a dear friend of our house and a real father to us in a lot of ways, spiritual dad, and an apostle. If you're not familiar with Leslie Kegel and his ministry, he's from Sri Lanka, and several years ago he felt commissioned by the Lord to start the Foursquare Church movement in Sri Lanka. There were zero churches there, and today there are over 2,000 churches.
Wow.
And yeah, amen. Give the Lord a hand. Go ahead. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. And he moves in signs, wonders, and power, which really is normal Christianity. Can I hear an amen? And so we're just thankful for him and his leadership. He always has a good word for us. So that's next Sunday. Just wanted you to know that. All right? I want to get into this morning's sermon, Easter sermon here. And before I do, I got to share this story because it blessed me. I pray it'll bless you too. Last night, I'm getting my message all together, and my six-year-old son, Matthew, is right next to me. And so I asked him, I said, Matthew, will you pray for Daddy? Daddy's preaching tomorrow, and it's Easter. And so he made his way over to me and extended his hand, laid his hand on me, and this is what he prayed. He said, Jesus, will you give my dad a good preach?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. So that worked. I think it worked first service. I'll try it again. Get my preach on. Bless the Lord. Give me a good preach. I thought, hallelujah. I'll take it. There's been a theme on my heart lately that I just want to share with you and see if it fits. I believe that much of the church is really comfortable with baby Jesus. And I thank God for Christmas. I mean, he put on human flesh. It's the beginning of the story. But we really love baby Jesus. And I think a lot of the church is very familiar with and even celebrates the Jesus of the Gospels. And I'm so thankful for the Jesus of the Gospels, that we get to see what life is intended to be like for every one of us. How many know that Jesus came living out an example for you and I of what life in the kingdom is like? Not then, but here and now. But I want to propose to you that I don't think much of the church is familiar with the resurrected Jesus. And I just believe that there's in the heart of God such a passion for his church to be awakened to the reality of the resurrected Christ. I know it might be hard for some of us to get our heart wrapped around this concept, but I want to present to you not just, you know, the Hollywood version of Jesus being resurrected. I mean to tell you, there is a power in resurrection power, the very power that rose Jesus from the dead, so that we look at an empty cross today. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And by the way, there's an empty cross and an empty tomb.
That's right.
Whoa.
And so that power, listen, we're not talking just any ordinary, kind of simple, again, Hollywood. That's really neat. Let's strip off the Sunday school message about Easter. And I want to present to you that I think there is a revelation in the resurrected Christ, the risen Jesus, that has a key for us to unlock. So I mean some dynamic power that the world is waiting to see. And it all hinges upon us really diving into, again, we thank God for the baby Jesus, the Jesus of the Gospels that we learn so much from. But how many know the story goes on? It didn't end there. As a matter of fact, do you know that the Scripture says after Jesus rose from the dead, that he appeared to his followers for about 40 days? And we get like one sentence. I wish they would have unpacked that a whole lot more. How about you?
Yeah.
Like, what was going on during that time? We get one sentence, and it's kind of like almost taken for granted. Oh yeah, and Jesus appeared, you know, for 40 days to all his followers. Matter of fact, and then I love this part. At one time, he appeared to over 500 at the same time. How would you like to be a part of that conversation?
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, you never believe what happened to me last night, man. Well, I might, try me. Yeah, so about midnight, like, Jesus appeared. Wait, what time? Midnight. Dude, that happened to me, too. Midnight.
Yeah.
And then Sam is crying. What? Dude, Jesus appeared in my room at midnight. 500 people at the same time. The risen Christ appears to all of them.
Amen.
Come on. How many of you know they're being introduced to a world that even after 3.5 years of following Jesus, seeing all the incredible things that we celebrate and say, yay, God. I mean, experiencing that with them. How many of you know they're experiencing a whole other Jesus after the resurrection?
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
I just think, listen, it was in that 40 days of Jesus hanging out with his followers that turns them from being these foul-mouthed, fearful, and deserting band of followers. How many of that is their story, folks. That is their story. 3.5 years living life with Jesus, and up until the moment of his betrayal, they're still looking for a physical kingdom to come. I mean, 3.5 years of seeing all the incredible things, hearing all the dynamic teaching, and Jesus even saying to them, guys, my kingdom isn't like you expect. 3.5 years, and they're still, up until the moment he's betrayed, like, when's the, you know, army and trumpets, angels, God, all that? We're waiting. I want to take my seat in Jerusalem. Here we are. And none of that happens. They flee. Peter cusses and swears that he does not know Jesus. How do they go from that, listen, to, we see the book of Acts, these radical followers of kingdom bringers and advancers of Jesus. And I want to propose to you, I think it was their exposure and interaction with the resurrected Christ for 40 days, coupled with the infusion of the Holy Spirit, that power that Jesus promised would give. Those two events, listen, turn a band of fearful, scattered followers into world changers.
Amen.
I think we're very familiar with baby Jesus. I think we celebrate the Jesus of the Gospels. I think there is a resurrected Christ that wants to explode on the scene and reveal himself in full power.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
I don't think I'm alone in that thought. Paul said it this way in Philippians 3:10. He said it this way. He said that I might know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Listen to that. Listen to that cry. Here's a guy who I think knew Christ, but there's an ache in his spirit that what he knows isn't enough. How many realize that if we had this insatiable hunger for God as the body of Christ, like if we had a hunger that never fully was satisfied, because here's what I've found, that when you hunger for God, you can feast on him and he is really good, but here's the trick, he makes you hungry for more.
Amen.
That's how you know really when you've been feasting, man. It's like, oh God, that was so good. When can I have another?
That's right.
I mean, that's the hunger thing. And I think Paul's lived that. And what his cry is, listen, what I know isn't enough. My heart's cry is that I would know him and the power of his resurrection. There is a resurrection power. Friends, you know what the empty cross really signals to us? There's a power unknown to man that God wants to make known.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, that's just a good word right there.
Yeah.
I want to propose to you that the cross, right here, if you all can see, the cross for believers is not the symbol of pain, punishment, and I mean just the you know, we come sometimes across and we feel so somber and so, and I get all that, but I want you to know something. The cross to believers is a sign of triumph.
Amen.
It's a sign of victory. Like, thank God that you went to the cross and I don't have to. I get to be a beneficiary of everything you paid for on that cross in my life. I get to live it out. Come on. That's just some good news right there. And so, listen. Let me pull my notes up here. I think the disciples understood. They found something. They discovered something in the risen Christ they had never seen before. They never experienced before. And that life, his resurrection life and power, friends, come on, it's available to you and I. Here's the good news about Easter. Really, we get to have Easter every day.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's like really fun.
Yeah.
We get to celebrate and experience the risen Jesus every day, every moment, and he's right there ready to invade your world with resurrection power. What would happen if the church discovered, really, in his fullness, the resurrected Jesus? How many ache for that? How many long for that? Come on, just would you tell them in your own words, Father, I really do. I want to know your son Jesus as the resurrected Christ. Just tell them in your own words. God, I want to experience resurrection power, Lord, the way you've intended, the way you've made available. Thank you, God. So listen, what do we mean by resurrected Christ? Well, I want to give you a picture of how John saw him. Turn to Revelation 1. So John, one of his followers. I love John, by the way, don't you?
Yep.
John is funny, man. He is a funny disciple, funny author. He has this way of kind of, you know, making himself look really good without being outright, you know, arrogant. He refers to himself in the third person, oftentimes in the gospel, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Like, is that not a slap in the face to the rest of the disciples? I mean, I'm not going to mention any names here, but the disciple whom Jesus loved. So you have that going on. Then I love his account of actually resurrection moment when Mary Magdalene comes back, tells the disciples that he's risen, and John says, so Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved ran to the tomb, and the other disciple got there first. In other words, I was faster than Peter. Bless the Lord. Just, you know, throwing these things in there. Gotta love John. So John, look at Revelation, the revelation of this same guy. Revelation 1, are you there?
Yes.
I'm not. Let me get there. Revelation 1, beginning of verse 9. The resurrected Christ. The resurrected Christ. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Isn't that an interesting last part there? I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and in kingdom and in patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. He lists the church there. And then he says this, then I turn to see the voice that spoke with me. Remember, the resurrected Christ. Like, let's strip off the Sunday school felt board, Sunday lesson, and I want you to see the resurrected Christ. All right, so John says, I turn to see that voice, and then here's what he sees. He says, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. This isn't your Hollywood Jesus, folks. Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right, so look at verse 15. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice, the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Somebody say resurrection power.
Resurrection power.
And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen and the things which you which are and the things which will take place after this. Are you getting this with me?
Yes.
I'm just wondering what would happen if the church knew that Jesus. Like, we became familiar with that Jesus. I'm just wondering, could it be possible that we would become world changers as the disciples were? You don't seem convinced. I mean, we're not talking about just, again, any ordinary event. John says, this is the same John, by the way, right, that lived, experienced all these things, right? And here's what he says. When I saw the resurrected Christ, it almost killed me. Wow. So we have this resurrected Jesus who just, I believe it's in God's heart, he wants to make him known to us and what's possible living out resurrection life and power. By the way, I think when Jesus said, I don't give you just any ordinary life, I give you abundant life, he's talking about resurrection life and power. So we have the resurrected Christ and all his power available to us. Here's what Paul said in Romans. Paul said this, if the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you, come on.
Yeah.
Like, just get, I mean, get, ask God for a revelation of that. That'll ruin your life in a good way for the rest of your life. The same Spirit that wrote, the Holy Spirit involved in the resurrection. I mean, that powerful moment. We read when that moment happened, when Jesus is risen from the dead, there's an earthquake that just shakes the entire region. We're talking a powerful moment here. So powerful, even the guards that stood by, it's in that moment they look at each other and say, this was the Son of God.
Yeah.
Like, there's just this dynamic thing happening. And Paul says the same Spirit that was involved in that moment lives in you.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
How many are saying, God, give me a revelation of that? Like, I want that untapped resource, largely in the body of Christ, to come alive and be let loose.
Yes.
Jesus said, if you drink of me, there's rivers of living water. That same Holy Spirit begin to gush out of you. What happens if the church just came alive to that?
Right.
Do you think entire cities might be changed?
Yes.
Because the resurrected Christ is doing what he does. So you have the resurrected Christ. You have the same Holy Spirit living in us. Here's a third, like, incredible thing. You know what the resurrected Christ's job assignment is right now? The Bible says that he is praying for you and I. nonstop, 24/7, the resurrected Jesus is interceding for you and I. Now I want to ask you, so what's your problem? Come on. You have resurrection power available to you. You have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead living in you. You have the resurrected Christ making intercession for you. By the way, do you know what the word intercession really means? It means to make an appointment between two parties. Come on. Jesus Christ is interceding on behalf of you, saying, Father, my Father who loves you and is good, by the way. It's not like he's twisting the Father's arm. He's just saying, Father, go get him. Father, go get him. Let's have, Lord, more appointments, more encounters. Jesus is praying an encounter for you and I. Oh, I just feel the Holy Spirit on that. So what's your problem? And I'm not trying to minimize problems. Here's what I want to say, though. You're familiar with this title of Jesus. You're familiar with him being called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Mm-hmm. And while I was praying about this sermon, I just kept having that title in my heart, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And I'll share why that was there. But I was so blessed in studying. Turn to Revelation 5 real quick. I want to show you what I found. Revelation 5 is the account, beginning with verse 1. It is the account. Listen, it is heaven's perspective of the crucifixion. It's just powerful. Revelation 5, verse 1. It's heaven. It's what's going on in heaven at the time of the crucifixion. It says this. John says, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. Just put it, something there and look up here real quick. I saw a powerful angel with a loud voice. If you're uncomfortable with loud things, like in church, you need to pray that you get free from that, y'all.
Well,
there's just loud things all the time happening in heaven. Come on. You read Revelation, and loud things are going on all the time. So John hears a loud voice. Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So John says, so I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. In verse 5, but one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed. Somebody say, come on.
Come on.
He's prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And then he came, took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah is the resurrected Christ. Come on, sit on that for a little bit. I mean, think about all the titles that could be given to the resurrected Christ. And John says, when I saw him, he was the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. The Lion. Some of you know, I used to work at a zoo. The LA Zoo, bless the Lord. My senior year in high school, I would hook Mary up with free French fries. She'd come and see me. Flipping burgers, and people ask me, so what did you do? I flipped burgers and I made French fries. Bless the Lord. That's what I did. I worked with the elephants one day, and it was putting kids on elephants, not picking up poop or anything like that. So, but I remember one day I had a lunch break and I was eating near. I didn't know I was near them, but I was eating near the lions. How do I know? Because I'm enjoying my lunch, and I'm not exaggerating this. I felt the roar more than I heard the roar. Whoa. I'm eating my lunch, just enjoying my, just kind of taking a break here, and it was about time for them to be fed. And he smelt something, right, coming from my lunch. But no, I heard I mean, just a, and I'm not joking. If you've heard a lion like that, in real life, you feel this thing. They say that a lion's roar in the wild can be heard for 6 miles.
Wow.
I don't know about you, but I was raised as a wildlife junkie. Mutual of Omaha was on all the time growing up, man, and we loved it. My brother and I, my dad. So my boys, unfortunately, they're National Geographic fans. And but if you know anything about lions, listen, there's a couple things that I just think are so key to the resurrected Christ being called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. First of all, how many have ever seen a photo of a lion where it captures the fierceness of a lion? I mean, just, you thank God that you're looking at a picture or you're looking in between glass. Somebody say amen to that. I mean, just, it's like, you got to be kidding me. The fierceness deep in its eyes. Like this thing, yeah. Thank God that I'm not like up close. And I thought, when I've seen things like that, I thought, Lord, I mean, God, what does that say about you? The fierceness of a God who could create a beast with that type of fierceness, ferocity. Now, don't think about God being mean or fierce towards you. Here's the thought. I just believe that God is fierce about you.
Yes.
And there's a fierceness about him that says that you are my own. You are mine. And everything I am really is for you. And it's towards you. And it's to help you and be there for you. There's a ferocity about God towards his people. And I just think there's something about the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. When John looks and sees this triumphant, resurrected Christ, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, he said, listen, in that moment when I was crucified, Lord, it is finished. I've won the battle. And I intend on keeping everybody that is mine. I'm fierce about them.
Amen.
The other thing about lions, they're territorial beasts. They just are. They will roam their territory daily. And don't you dare take what is theirs. And again, I just think God is fierce about you as his territory. I really do. Here's the prophetic sense that I have, and I just want to release this to you. I just believe it's time for the resurrected Christ to be released and revealed to see what he can do, not what this world can do in its best.
Amen.
Like, here's the thing. I believe the Lion of the Tribe of Judah is wanting to be loosed. Come on, just loosed in our life, in our circumstance.
Amen.
You know what most of the world does? We watch the best the world can do, and we see the damage that the enemy can do, which, by the way, Scripture says the enemy roams around like a lion. He is not a lion.
Amen.
He's an imitator. The enemy of our soul roams around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you know what we do? We get so fixated on what he can do that we lose sight of what the Lion of the Tribe of Judah can do. He wants to be loosed and like wreak havoc on the enemy of our soul. Come on, isn't it time? Isn't it time to loose him, to let him go, man? Like, let him out of the cage. And let's see what the resurrected Christ can do. I just think that largely the church, we don't know that. Is that okay? Are you with me?
Yes.
So let him roar. I love what is said about Aslan and the Lion, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, either the book or the movie. It captured it well when it said that Aslan, he's not a tame lion. There's a ferocity about him. He's not your pet.
Hallelujah.
Yeah? Yeah, amen. All right, one last thing. So, are you with me so far?
Yes.
I pray that we never look at the cross the same. How does the cross tie in all of this? I've kind of given some hints. By the way, feel blessed because I did not have these images first service. They all missed out, but you have them. I pray that we never look at the cross the same way. You know what I think the cross is? I think it's a constant reminder from a passionate God who wants to keep in front of his people the symbol, the greatest symbol of hope, of freedom, and of power on earth.
Amen.
It's an empty cross. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. A few months ago, I was driving on the freeway, and I saw this sight that just struck me. I'd never seen it before, and we can go ahead and show it. I saw a tow truck. Can you guys see that? No, it wasn't those exact tow trucks. I've seen several since, but about 2 months ago, I saw a tow truck on the freeway, and what caught me was the cross.
Amen.
On the back of this thing. And here's what I thought. Lord, how genius it was of you. Some poor guy who thought he was designing a great instrument to help, you know, help cars off the side of the road. He was actually partnering prophetically with you so that when those people who are stranded and hopeless and broken down, who have something that doesn't work anymore. How many of you have ever been stranded like that? When you see the tow truck coming, you're speaking in tongues, right? Amen? And so listen, how prophetic it was, how genius it was of God to have somebody say, you know what? You know what works really good to like lift cars that are stranded? This form, and it's in the form of a cross. That they probably didn't know that they were doing that. Listen, they are prophesying to people who are hopeless and broken down when life doesn't work anymore. Listen, the cross of Christ, the risen Christ, is a symbol of hope and freedom to them.
Amen.
This is like this passionate Jesus. He says, I want you to know what I've done. I'll put on a tow truck for you, doggone it. We can show the next one. Come on. Andy? Yeah, right? You work with these things. So I've taken the drive from the 14 of 395 up to the Eastern Sierras a number of times. Some of you have too. I remember one drive, just we're coming home, and I just see this row, like literally about 100 power poles that were crosses. And again, isn't it the genius of God that the form that some poor dude thought, you know, let's just put these poles up because we need to run power and get power to everybody. Hey, let's put poles up. And by the way, we need like a cross beam to run power through. And they built a cross. Come on. The cross being the best structure that could carry power to every person.
Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, that's good.
God's prophesying to people.
Amen.
Like all the time. Like here I... Psh, power.
Amen.
The resurrected Christ made that possible. Yeah. And then let's show the next one here. I love these. They're all over the place. Some of you can identify them. The one on the far right is the cross over is at Rocky Peak, actually. The one in the middle there, the big one's a cross over Simi Valley. Can you guys see?
Yep.
The one at the top right is a cross over L.A., at Hollywood, overlooks Hollywood, and you see LA in the background. And that last bottom one just looked really cool. I don't know where it's over. Jesus. A constant symbol prophesying to cities. It's the cross that covers you. The cross of the risen Christ. Prophetic symbol. Most of these get lit up at night. Thousands upon thousands of people driving by. And it's a prophetic reminder. Jesus is alive. The resurrected Christ. Greatest symbol of power and freedom on earth. The cross of Christ. Thank you, Lord. This last one, don't show it yet, but this last one. We didn't rehearse this. But this last one, I came across. How many know the name Louis Giglio? Just has a powerful series of DVDs. Most of it's done on creation. But on one of them, he was given a presentation in front of colleges and you name it, gives these presentations on creation. And a scientist came up to him at the end of his presentation and said, "Louis, you're not going to believe this, but you need this bit of information." And he said, "Did you know that the very protein, now get this, the protein that holds the human cell together, the protein, so in essence, that substance that holds all of our person together, did you know that it looks like this?" Go ahead and show it. Come on. The heart of a passionate papa who says, it's in the cross. It's in the cross. Freedom, your power, your destiny. Listen, it's through the cross of Christ, the risen, resurrected Christ, and the power that's available through him. And that's just awesome. What a loving God. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. So I want to ask you, what would happen if the church became aware and alive to the resurrected Jesus, to see what he's capable of? How many this morning would say, "Lord, sign me up for that. Sign me up for that." Just tell the Lord in your own words. Just tell him in your own words, "Lord, I, like Paul, I want to know you and the power," listen, "the power of your resurrection." Just tell the Lord in your own words right now. Go ahead, take a minute. Yes. You can just tell him in your own words. I want to give an invitation in just 1 minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just go ahead and bow your heads with me, and I want to extend an invitation to you. If you're here right now, I believe the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you all throughout this service. There's something in your heart that is just telling you, boy, this is truth. This is truth. This is truth. Your mind may be wrestling with it, but your heart's saying, it's screaming out to you, this is truth, what this man's saying. And I just want to have an opportunity to pray for you, that if you're here and you're feeling that, it is the Holy Spirit just tugging on your heart, saying, "I want in. I want a relationship with you." And it's made available. Your relationship with God is made available through Jesus and what he did on the cross. And not just your relationship in the future. Like, it's great that we're going to heaven, but here's even the better news. You can know God now, right now, and have an awesome, intimate relationship with the God of the universe. And it happens through Jesus. If you're here right now and you're saying, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior today, would you just lift your hand right now? I want to agree with you that today you begin a relationship with him. Just lift your hand right where you're at. I want to agree with you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So I want to give another invitation as well. If you're here this morning and you're saying, you know, there's things that I'm experiencing right now that I need a visitation of resurrection life and power. Like, I need the Lion of the tribe of Judah to be released and loosed in what I'm facing. I'm just going to ask you, I'm going to do something we didn't do first service, but I'm going to ask you to be as bold as a lion. Would you just stand to your feet? You're saying, "I'm facing something right now that I'm just saying, God, I need resurrection, life, and power to swallow it up." Just stand to your feet. I just want to bless you now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.